I don't know.
That
was the first viewing for both of us.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I've got some questions for all the 16 Candles lovers out there.
I need you people to explain yourselves.
I just have one main question.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Like, what's going on?
I don't know, man, but we are going to talk about it.
John, how awkwardly written of you.
You know John Hughes, who's famous for his writing?
And you know what? This was the first shot.
It was.
This was John Hughes' first movie.
Yeah.
First, his directorial debut. And you know what? We can't all get it right on the first try. He had many more chances, and you know what? He made a damn success of it, didn't he?
Yeah.
But we're not going to be here for long. Just saying. It's already a short film, and, well, we didn't like it, so...
All right.
I guess there had to be one in Brat Pack we didn't like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I just wish I'd picked Pretty in Pink instead.
I know. We didn't prepare. Welcome back to Kicking and Streaming, where Carrie insisted on this, and she has regrets.
I'm Carrie.
And yeah, she is. And I'm Ross.
And this week we are talking about the 1984 John Hughes film, 16 Candles.
Is all our 80s girlies excited? Great, I don't know why.
Guys, we are in rare form today, but don't worry, it's gonna be a good episode.
Again, it was the first time either one of us had ever seen the movie, yeah. So, which is insane, but...
I think we've only ever seen it parodied on things.
And wouldn't ya, after what we've seen.
Before we get started, don't forget, go follow us on Twitter, at KickNStream.
KickNStream. STREAM.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
That's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing the three R's: rate, review, retweet.
Rate, review, retweet. You never know when we're gonna hate a coverage, so.
You know how many things I typed in all caps?
I bet.
I swear to God.
I fucking bet.
And guys, don't forget to go check out the Patreon.
Yeah, guys, for just $5 a month, you too could be a little London contributor at the $5 level. Got all of our bonus content waiting over there for you right now. All you gotta do is sign up. Go ahead, click the link, sign up, do it, join now.
If you are a fan of when we're angry about some coverage, you can always go over there and check out the Sopranos episode we just did.
Yeah, it's...
Talked about how much we didn't like that.
Yeah. We should do a hype check for this, quite honestly.
Seriously.
It is necessary at this point.
So, I mean, what's the story? I mean, you got a guy or...
Yes, three big ones and they left went blood.
Her name is Samantha Baker, and today is her 16th birthday.
Red, she's gotten her boobies.
Oh, I'd better go get my magnifying glass.
They forgot my birthday. Classic. This is the single worst day of my entire life.
Universal Pictures presents...
Score, a direct hit.
16 Candles.
You say it's your birthday. It's my birthday too.
The story of a girl who's stuck with a guy who's driving her crazy.
Nice manners, babe.
And stuck on a guy she's crazy about.
Who's Jake?
Jake Ryan.
Jake's my boy.
Jake is a senior, and he's beautiful and perfect.
He doesn't even know you exist.
He smiles at me, and I don't say anything. Can't believe I'm such a jerk.
You quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's bad for your complexion.
You know Samantha Baker? Kids are looking at me a lot. It's kind of cool the way she's always looking at me.
Maybe she's retarded.
What's happening, hot stuff?
His name is Long Duck Dong.
Nothing could shock me anymore.
Underpants.
Can I borrow your underpants for 10 minutes?
Girls' underpants.
Hate that rock and roll rubbish.
Everybody in this family has just gone totally out of limits.
You guys, you just gotta be cool. You just gotta chill out and just be cool. Just watch me.
Why, you little scuzzbag.
I'll let you take Carolyn home. She's so blitz, she won't know the difference.
Jake, I don't have a car.
You can take mine.
I gotta get out of here before anything else terrible happens.
She's stuck between a halfwit.
Very hot, very hot.
And a heartbreaker.
I want a serious girlfriend. Somebody I can love. It's gonna love me back.
Pretty intense, huh? Over.
Everyone she knows is either on her case.
You know you're the one I wanna bug, huh?
Or out of their tree.
Banzai!
It only happens once in a lifetime.
This has got to be a joke.
And once is enough.
Happy birthday, Samantha.
This is getting good.
16 Candles.
John Huggis.
John Huggis? John Hughes?
John Hughes, you wrote this.
Yeah, he did.
You did. Honestly, the fact that Universal let this happen, I know it was 1983-84, but...
Yeah. It sure as shit was.
And I know we're watching it with 2020 vision. It's just,
This has got to be the kind of thing that if you're a fan of it, you saw it when you were in high school and you internalized it, and now it's one of your comfort films. I don't see how it could be anybody's comfort film. I was violently uncomfortable for most of it.
I mean, $17 million profit for your first film, John, is not bad at all.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. But like... what's going on? Like, this is so awkwardly written.
Mm-hmm.
It's racist. It's a little homophobic.
It's misogynist.
It's misogynistic. It's, and you know what? We're gonna have those elements in the other two films we do for Brat Pack.
Yeah, why do we just...
why are we coming down so hard on this? I think it's because it is genuinely, and I mean that when I say that, genuinely underwhelming.
Yeah. There's no conflict!
There's no conflict in this movie!
And I'm sorry, being in love with a boy who's too old for you when he doesn't know you exist is not conflict!
And neither is your family being c**ts and forgetting your sweet 16. Guys, we're not kidding. Those are the two entire conflicts in the movie.
Oh, boy.
And I just don't get it, but... we're here,
yeah.
We're sat, and we're going to talk about it. So, you know, John Hughes, been with us multiple times. We did The Home Alones,
mm-hmm.
Well, the two that matter. And then we've also done the one that doesn't matter, but John wasn't involved with that one. You know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Uncle Buck, National Lampoon, Pretty in Pink, which we should have just done.
We should have done Pretty in Pink.
Oh, Lord. Here's what I'll say to John. From, you know, posthumously. John, you made a movie.
He did.
You know, Jonathan, I think you did a job. And that is my opinion on this.
I love it.
And yeah, guys, we are just dealing with a very insecure. I don't even think she's that insecure.
Yeah, I think everyone else around her is just an asshole.
Yeah, we're dealing with a young woman on her 16th birthday, and her whole family forgets... and she's into a guy who is into her back.
Yeah.
She just doesn't know that. It's just weird. It's so weird.
It's a weird way to hash out this conflict.
And I don't know.
Conflict in quotation marks.
John, this was your first script?
Yeah.
The first one? What is this about in his past? That's what I want to know. Because you know what I think it is?
No.
I think John's the geek.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
But he didn't want to make it all about him.
Uh-huh.
So we really focused on writing a 16-year-old girl super awkwardly, I might add. Anyway, folks, you might have guessed it, but we've got names. Some of your Brat Pack favorites here, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Portraying Samantha Baker, Sam,
mm-hmm.
Our protagonista. We have Molly Ringwald. Please welcome her to Kicking and Streaming.
Yeah.
I do believe this is her very first appearance here on the show.
I think so, too.
You will know her from fucking Pretty in Pink,
mm-hmm.
16 Candles, The Breakfast Club.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she was on Different Strokes and The Facts of Life. She also plays Shailene Woodley's mother on that show, Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Yeah. Yep, I remember that. I remember thinking to myself when those promos first came on, I was like, oh, there's Molly Ringwald. Haven't seen her in a long, long time.
Recent relevance, she was in Riverdale,
mm-hmm.
and she was also in that fucking Dahmer shit. Ryan Murphy.
No.
And then Ryan Murphy utilized her in that and then put her in the new season of Feud.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Capote versus the Swans, huh. And she's one of the Swans.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, all right.
That's got, it's Demi Moore and Molly Ringwald and Calista Flockhart.
Naomi
and,
Watts, I think, is also in the...
Yeah, Naomi Watts and, yeah, anyway.
Wow.
Portraying Jake Ryan... please welcome him back to Kicking and Streaming. We have Michael Schoeffling.
He's been with us before.
Yes. He is the he's Joe in Mermaids. He's the handyman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh no.
He usually is playing a guy too old for the female protagonist.
Ew. Oh god.
Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. He's in that. He's in Vision Quest, and he's in this and Mermaids. He is a very pretty man.
Uh-huh.
I think his acting ability is, like, it's not God tier, but it's fine. I think he gets the point across. Please welcome back to Kicking and Streaming Anthony Michael Hall.
Uh-huh.
He's portraying Farmer Ted.
Farmer Ted?
The Ted Farmer.
The Geek.
The Geek.
That's all it says on the IMDb, is just the Geek.
I know. He was in Edward Scissorhands, and we did Edward Scissorhands.
We sure did.
What six short years can do.
Ah!
You know, he was on SNL.
Yeah.
For a season. He did Out of Bounds, Johnny Be Good, 6 Degrees of Separation from 1993. LOL, he was in The Dark Knight.
He has a bit role as like a newscaster.
Okay, okay. And, of course, Halloween Kills.
Yeah.
All right. Portraying Jake's girlfriend, Caroline.
Oh, God.
We have, her name's Haviland Morris. She's now a real estate agent.
That's fun. But, she looks like a real estate agent.
But, she's in Gremlins 2, the new batch.
Yep. Wasn't she the mom in Home Alone 3?
Carrie.
Or am I thinking of somebody else?
You're so right.
Yeah.
Please welcome her back to Kicking and Streaming.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I knew she looked familiar.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, okay. And we probably talked all about that when we did Home Alone 3. Portraying... Oh, my God. Portraying Long Duk Dong. I hate that even came out of my mouth.
I know. It's a dick joke that's also racist somehow.
We've got Gary Watanabe. He's the voice of Ling from Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
And Mulan 2. Oh, he was in the OBC of Pacific Overtures.
Oh.
It's just a Sondheim.
Oh, okay.
So you know Sondheim's got those little works that you just don't know that much about. Please welcome back to Kicking and Streaming, Paul Dooley, because he is playing Sam's father, Jim. He was with us when we covered Hairspray.
Right, he's the executive.
He's Mr. Spritzer.
Yeah.
Or more people are breathing aerosol than oxygen.
Yeah.
That's him, yeah. Portraying Brenda, Sam's mother, is Carlin Glynn. You will know her, actually. You won't know her, Carrie, but you'll love this. She was in the original Broadway cast of The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Hey!
From 1978.
Nice.
Portraying Ginny Baker is Blanche Baker. I think that's funny when they have the same surname. Little Mike Baker is played by Justin Henry. We've got Edward Andrews and Billy Bird as Grandma and Grandpa Baker. And then we've got Carol Cook and Max Showalter as Grandma and Grandpa Brenda's parents.
Brenda's parents.
Billy Bird has been with us before.
She was in Home Alone.
Yeah, she was in Home Alone.
She's the other half of that couple that...
Is that a real Rolex?
Yeah.
Do you think it is? No. Well, who can tell?
Oh, my God.
We've got Leanne Curtis as Randy, baby John Cusack,
mm-hmm.
Which he's cute.
Yeah, he was cute.
As Bryce, baby Joan Cusack. As Geek Girl.
Yeah, in the neck brace.
Yeah, with the neck brace. Carrie, I did not notice the Reverend's Brian Doyle Murray, as in The Flying Dutchman, as in Jack Ruby from JFK.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So welcome him back. Caroline's best friend Robin is Jamie Gertz.
Yep.
Please welcome her back to Kicking and Streaming. She was with us when we covered Twister.
Yep.
She's the mom from Still Standing. And I don't really... Oh, and Zelda Rubinstein is the church organist.
Mm-hmm.
She's the creepy little lady from Poltergeist.
This house is clean. I can't wait to do Poltergeist. I love that stupid movie.
Proposed sequel?
No!
No!
Please don't bring this back from the ashes of our culture.
What's it gonna be? 56 candles, Molly Ringwald?
Hey!
That's mean. sorry, Molly. This Molly Ringwald, this is not your fault. You acted this to the best of your goddamn ability.
Yeah, I mean, what a Bella Swan of a character. I said the quiet part out loud. That's why so many teen girls loved this. Stop. God.
I can't wait to cover those.
Not movies. Your fault, Molly. Not your fault.
Oh, my God. Carrie, you have to get started.
I know.
I'm trusting you to drive.
I cannot prolong this any longer.
I'm so sorry. I know. We've got complaints.
We do. We may be entitled to financial compensation.
I actually can't believe I didn't fall asleep.
Really? That bad, huh?
Well, I was eating, and I was like, don't fall asleep. But I was also waiting for something tantalizing to happen. I don't know.
All right, so we begin.
Get uncomfy.
Yeah, get uncomfy. For crying out loud. We begin with Samantha Baker in a very 80s teen movie way.
Yes.
Talking to herself in the mirror.
Who talks to themselves out loud like this? At least look at the camera. Look at us, the audience, and give us your little monologues.
Chronologically, you're 16 today. Physically, you're still 15. Hopeless.
What I mean by a Bella Swan sort of character is that she's very average when it comes to what her personality traits are, what she's insecure about.
I like her.
I do too.
I would want to be her friend.
She's my favorite character.
Like, she's honestly just, but like, that's the thing. It's almost like she's not the leading lady in her own story.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That was big irritating for me. And like, you know, of course she has body image issues. Every girl in the 80s had body image issues. She's worried that she's not developing as fast as her classmates, and you know,
because today is what,
her 16th birthday.
Uh-huh.
And you know, she's feeling a lot of ennui about it.
No, I didn't expect to wake up transformed. I just thought that turning 16 would be so major that I'd wake up with an improved mental state that would show on my face. All it shows is that I don't have any sort of a tan left. I better get downstairs. My family's probably pissed off I haven't let them wish me happy birthday yet.
She's also a little annoyed because what's tomorrow?
Her sister's wedding.
And what's different between her and her sister?
Literally everything.
Yeah. Who do you think the family favors more, her or her sister?
So let's talk about her horrible family. And yes, I am going to come down hard on these people.
Dad, Jim, and Mom, Brenda.
Yep. And then she's got, like we said, older sister, Ginny, who's getting married tomorrow. And she's got two younger siblings, a whiny little sister named Sarah, and a pissant little brother named Mike.
There is a little sister.
There is a little sister. Yeah, that little.
Wait, she's not credited.
Seriously?
She's not in the cast list.
That's so funny.
Maybe she was like a producer's kid or something.
Oh, but yeah. No, that is somebody's kid. For sure. Well, all children are somebody's
kid. I literally see no Sarah Baker listed here.
Yep.
Wow. Continue.
So Sam walks downstairs as the rest of the family is going out of the house in the morning to start their day. No one says shit to her.
About her birthday.
About her birthday.
At all.
At all. Like, she's trying to go out the door and Mom is talking to her. Mom forgot to make her lunch.
Yeah.
And she's like,
now, don't give me that pouty look of yours. You can eat your carrots when you get home.
That's it? You don't have anything else to say to me today?
What would you like me to say, Sam? Come on now, honey. You're gonna miss the bus. Have a good day.
I can't believe this. They fucking forgot my birthday.
What? I wrote, because again, never seen this, didn't know this was an element of the plot. They forgot her fucking birthday.
It's so awful.
I know there's four of them, but what parent forgets their child's birthday? I know it happens, but what good parent forgets their child's birthday?
I don't know.
And the movie wants us to not take it too tough on them because they're planning this goddamn wedding. And I'm so mad. Especially with how much of a shit show the wedding ends up being.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
It doesn't add up.
I'm
like,
angry on Samantha's behalf.
As we all should be, damn it.
God. And this sucks because Sam has always had a vision for her sweet 16, right? A big party, lots of people, live band, a brand new car. But because her family's so distracted and are obviously self-involved, they fucking forgot. So she's going to school, and this is where we meet her friend Randy, which I think is an objectively good name for a female character. I'm assuming her real name's Miranda.
Hey, yeah, probably.
And she just goes by Randy.
Uh-huh.
I know it's a drag that your sweet 16 is the day before Jenny gets married, but big deal. They'll remember.
Oh, easy for you to say. Did anyone ever forget your birthday?
Come on, Sam.
Everything's just getting shittier. My family forgetting my birthday just makes it more vivid.
What do you expect, a breakfast birthday party?
No, but they could have at least said happy birthday. I mean, it's just like any other day.
And we're in study hall. This...
Independent study.
Oh, excuse me. Independent study. What did we call it? Enrichment block?
Enrichment block, yes.
Where I would sleep.
Real enriching.
Like a lot. My favorite thing about this scene is that the teacher that's supervising it is sitting in front of the blackboard at his desk. It says total idiot with an arrow pointing on his head.
It certainly does.
That was my favorite background detail for that. And Sam is filling out this sex test, I'm using air quotes, that some other girl gave her.
We never did shit like this.
Maybe we talked about it, but we didn't
write it down.
We didn't create a paper trail.
Exactly.
It's all these questions like, have you ever touched it? Can't even write the word penis.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever touched it? Have you ever done it?
Would you if you had the chance? Like,
and if so, with who?
Yeah.
And she's like, your name's not on it, so you should be honest. And this is where we get our first look at Jake Ryan.
And Jake is very pretty.
He is just looking off into middle distance, staring at the back of her head. The thing is that she doesn't think he knows she even exists.
Oh, he knows.
He knows.
Because she looks right at him. She turns around and stares right at him. And he's like, oh, pretty girl, pretty eyes. I will be obsessed with this for the rest of the movie.
And like, she folds that sex test up and like tries to drop it in front of Randy's desk to pass the note. But Randy's asleep on her hand. So she doesn't see it drop.
Uh-oh.
And Jake does.
Uh-oh.
And puts his foot on top of it and pulls it over to him. And honestly, this is where I wrote, I would have just killed myself.
Yeah.
If I found out that that test got into the wrong hands.
Because
again, her name's not on it, but his name's on it.
He also saw her drop it.
Yeah.
So
he knows it's from her. I love it when they get out into the hallway and she's like to Randy, what do you mean you don't have it?
You swear to God you don't have it? I don't know anything about it. Jennifer Woods gave me a sex test during child development and I was supposed to do it and pass it to you in independent study. Totally screwed.
Did you put your name on it?
Hi. No, but it was really embarrassing. I had to name who I'd do it with if I ever did it.
Who'd you name?
Jake Ryan. Jake Ryan. He doesn't even know you exist.
I'd absolutely die, or in her words, shit twice and die.
Indeed.
I like that line, John. That one's good. But here is the first and probably most relevant detail about Jake Ryan. He's 18.
Ew.
And I know a lot of people don't think that's a big deal, but I'm sorry. It's a bigger deal than you think it is.
It is.
Like, those are two completely different stages of life. Brand new 16-year-old and an 18-year-old who's on his way out. And this movie is trying to make me think that he's not a creep.
Yeah, when his buddy's like, dude, she's a child. And he goes, so?
She looks at me like she's in love with me.
Jake, she's a child.
So?
So what are you gonna do with her? She's obviously too young to party serious.
Maybe I'm interested in more than a party.
Come on, Jake, you talk like you're hard up. You got Carolyn, now she's a woman.
That's not a good look!
It's
like,
really not! Like, I just... And the thing is that none of it even matters because he's dating Caroline Mulford. She's the prom queen. She's like the most popular girl in school. And like, this is the thing. I know that these are not high schoolers, but it's the fact that they are in the story. We literally cut to Caroline in the shower.
Yeah.
And she is nude and they show her breasts. They do it to make the point that Randy and Samantha are very jealous of her body.
We shouldn't be seeing nude teenagers
in
the shower lock room.
Come on, John Hughes.
Why the fuck did you shoot that?
And again, I know Haviland is probably not actually a teenager, but it's weird. It's just weird to think about. And I know that that is probably what drew a lot of young women to this, is that they shared insecurities with both of those girls and couldn't help noticing that other people around them, their friends and their classmates, are looking different.
Yeah, well, don't worry, guys. We'll get to the actual high school dissection next week. It'll be fine. Oh,
God. I wrote in all caps, the bus scene.
Okay.
This is where I got my first look at Joan Cusack in the neck brace.
First of all, that. And second of all, I always hated, because you know what they make us do? You know what they would make us do.
When you were young?
Yeah. They would make us take two buses to one location.
What?
And then combine the buses. So that bus can then go drop kids off at the schools. And I do mean that. We would go to the middle school and drop all them off.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd go to the high school so we could go to school.
Seriously?
I hated it for the brief time I did it.
Yeah.
Because it was just my freshman year. And I learned to drive before literally everyone else did.
Uh-huh.
And then it was, oh, Ross came right home. Oh, Ross came at school.
So we don't have to ride the bus with the middle schoolers.
Me honking at 8:28 for Gage to come outside.
School starts in
2 minutes.
And this is where we meet the geek.
Yeah.
Like, Anthony Michael Hall is here, and I love that we're playing the Dragnet music. He's got this very overconfident way about him. I don't know where that comes from.
He's the leader of the geeks, I guess, so...
Yeah, and he's going to be a pain in our ass for the rest of this movie.
All he wants to do is touch Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, he starts hovering over her and asking her if she wants to go to a dance with him that night. And she tells him no less than 5 times to fuck off and get out of her face.
She also calls him a fag.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, not the F slur. Like, I can say it, okay?
You're gay.
I'm queer enough.
You're queer enough.
So, I mean, what's the story? I mean, you got a guy or...
Yes, 3 big ones and they lust for wimp blood. So quit bugging me or I'll stick them all over your weenie ass.
You know, I'm getting input here that I'm reading is relatively hostile. I mean, it's just...
Go to hell.
Very hostile. Come on, what's the problem here? I'm a boy. You're a girl. Is there anything wrong with me trying to put together some kind of relationship between us?
And guys, he is going to spend the rest of this movie objectifying her. I really did at one point in the middle think it was going to get better, and it just does not.
You know, maybe at one point when I was that age, you know, being a boy, maybe at one point I thought to myself, oh, it's so hopeless. No girl's ever going to want to talk to me.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, I just thought it was all so hard that I didn't even care.
Yeah.
You know, I was also suppressing gay thoughts, but like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember that aspect of young life ever being important to you in any way.
Maybe he should touch John Cusack instead.
Stop.
Give it a try. It's a boy your own age. Go ahead.
Stop.
Go for it.
Absolutely not.
All right.
Not Sam coming home to find her half-naked grandparents in her bedroom.
No one wants to find that.
Where are my blue socks, Dorothy?
You mean to tell me you didn't pack them? Oh, not again, Howard. Can't I trust you to do anything? Do you expect me to do all the packing?
Because all her family's coming into town for this wedding.
Yeah, and of course everyone's room is being usurped.
Yeah, she's being kicked out of her room. So that they can sleep in there, I think Brenda's parents are sleeping in Ginny's room.
See, that kind of behavior, amongst white people in general, I feel like should be more acceptable now than back in the 80s. Back in the 80s, you can afford the hotel room. Today, it might be a little different. But like,
why do we all have to be on top of each other like this?
And you want to know why?
Why?
Because what their children think and feel don't matter to them.
Yeah, I hate these people.
You have to have their parents invade their children's space like that.
And the thing is the grandparents don't remember it's her birthday either.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
She has to tell. Well, Randy did.
Well, Randy did but remember, like, but yeah. Not her family. The other set of grandparents don't remember. And guys, I cannot stand this nonsense. When adult relatives make comments about young people's bodies.
Developing bodies.
It's hard enough trying not to be perceived.
Guys, she gets felt up by her own grandmother.
Red, she's gotten her boobies.
Oh, I'd better go get my magnifying glass.
Oh, and they are so perky.
And I love the cut of her hands reaching for her chest, and then it's just her slamming her own bedroom door.
I got felt up by my own grandma.
Like,
what? What the fuck, John?
It was like a percent funny.
Yeah.
You know, but like,
I was horrified.
The cut was funny. The content was not.
And so she's in her brother's bedroom because that's where she thinks she's going to be banished to. But nope. Because guess who's occupying that other bed? It's the exchange student that one of her grandparents brought with them.
What's happening, hot stuff?
His name is Long Duck Dong.
What?
Long Duck Dong.
I'm gonna try not to say this as much as possible. It is his name, but I hate it. Long Duck Dong.
It is a name that John Hughes, a white man, made up. Can we just call him LDD?
LDD.
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 I like that.
I like that too.
LDD.
He gets wild in this film.
As he should.
But is also the target of much expected 80s casual racism.
Indeed.
I wrote, oh good, another distracting plot element.
Yeah.
Also, this house is bursting at the seams.
Yeah, I know.
We've already got four kids. Now we've got four grandparents and an exchange student.
I just don't understand. This is giving me Tina Fey vibes. I don't understand what his character is, his significance is. I think he's literally just there to be foreign.
Mm-hmm.
And air quote weird. And to make fun of.
Yeah, like comedy. He's just the butt of the joke.
He literally ties into this narrative, not at all, in any concrete, meaningful way.
You could literally remove him from the plot.
And it would be the same.
Basically, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love his crazy ass, don't get me wrong. But
we're not a fan of the racial overtones.
The tokenism here is very prevalent.
And so finally, Sam retreats to her sister's bedroom, thinking, oh, maybe somebody will give me an ounce of comfort in this weird-ass situation. But no, because Ginny... What I hate about Ginny is she's acting like she's the very first person to ever get married... And is somehow special for it.
Yes.
It's really, really annoying.
Yes.
Like, she's talking about how I've had men love me before, but never longer than 6 months.
How old are you, Ginny?
And the thing that makes the top of my head come off.
Sam, I really don't have time for this. Well, I'm sorry. I always listen to you talk about your boyfriends. Darling, is something bothering you? You're really acting like an asshole.
You're being a jealous asshole. That is what she says to her little sister on her birthday. Which, again, she does not know it's her birthday.
I just can't.
Drink every time we say they forgot her birthday, because I was mad about it the whole time I was watching it, and I will probably die mad about it.
Hey, Carrie.
Yeah?
When is my birthday?
September 24th.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. Did you think I was going to get it wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
You usually say the 22nd or the 23rd.
I know your birthday.
Okay. What day is it on this year?
I don't know that.
Okay, I'll let it slide.
I wrote, at this point, I'm hoping she was just switched at birth, because she's the only redheaded child in this family.
Yeah, I know. I don't. Do you believe this family? I don't believe this family.
Okay. The dinner scene... where we're just abusing LDD.
When they're all, like, staring at him down the table.
Like he's an animal in a zoo.
And they're making fun of the language barrier, and...
Yeah, like, right in front of him. we shouldn't be shocked. It was the 80s. What really freaks me out is when the grandparents start describing all of the different chores he does.
I love a visiting with a grandma and a grandpa, and writing letters to parents, and pushing lawn mowing machine so grandpa's hyena don't get disturbed.
Hernia!
Oh, oh yes, 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 indeed. He does the dishes and helps with the laundry, you betcha.
And I'm like, LDD, blink twice if you're being human trafficked.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, is he a foreign exchange student?
Yes, yes.
Or is he free labor?
No, he's a foreign exchange student, but I'm like, And the really awkward part is that the grandparents insist that LDD go with Sam to this dance at school that night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think we even mentioned that way back there. Oh, yeah, we did, because... the geek's trying to get her to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
But now they want her to take along with her this guy she's known all of 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, hey, I'm happy for LDD. He's jazzed. He's going to have a good time.
I guess.
So Sam and Randy walk into the dance, and they're not there for 5 seconds before Sam is having those dramatic high school dance feelings.
Indeed, indeed.
That come with seeing the boy you have a crush on dance with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't get it. I know he's pretty, and I've liked boys for way dumber reasons, you know?
Yeah.
And compromised myself for boys for way dumber reasons.
I'm so sorry.
I know. You know what? You know what I do like about this movie? The amount of girls that are hauling off and hitting boys.
Indeed.
Who touch them unsolicited. I wish I had hit more boys in school. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
You should have.
And the geek and his buddies literally have their sights on her, actually using goggles to observe her from across the room.
If you have time to be creepy, you have time to be civil.
like, not using the goggles to perceive her. It's so creepy and weird. And again, the geek, Ted, thinks he's got to prove to his buddies that he's got all this proposed swagger. He's like, I can pull that. And they're like, bullshit.
Do the bus together.
Talk to her.
Talk, dude. I have a relationship with her. Figure to like 17 digits.
You are such a liar.
We'll see about that, my man. By night's end, I predict me and her will interface.
And he's like, watch me work.
Oh, God.
Let me cook. And
this
like,
is so uncomfortable.
When she turns around and he's there.
Uh-huh.
And he's whispering things at her.
And trying to get her to dance with him.
And he just starts. He is. I don't have words. Like, I watched this sequence where he's dancing around her with my mouth open. I was like, I felt bad. Not for the character. I felt bad for Molly Ringwald.
I know, having to stand
and Anthony
there.
Michael Hall.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I just...
very hot. Very hot. This night is happening. I'm blowing your mind, aren't I?
He embarrasses himself.
I'm blowing your mind right now, aren't I? What?
And she's standing there crying.
She's taking it. Like,
it's so uncomfortable.
I would be too. My whole family forgot my birthday. My sister's being a c**t. And now I'm here at the dance, watching the guy I do like dancing with the chick who is not me. And this geek is drooling on me while he dances.
Oh, it's so bad.
I
was so uncomfortable.
She has to away.
Yeah, I would.
And all the geek's buddies, all Ted's buddies are like, you literally ran her off. Like, what do you...
Yeah.
What riz do you think you have?
And his friends tell him he's got no chance with her. And when he keeps insisting that he does, they tell him to get her underwear as proof.
Oh, my God.
What kind of proof do you want?
Video.
No way, okay? I can just see the thing getting duped 1,000 times and like winding up in cable somewhere. Try again.
Underpants.
No problem, butt lick.
He shoots down their suggestion to get the act on video.
They bet him, don't they? They make a little bet. He has to give them
like 17 floppy disks or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a time.
There's an antiquated reference.
Anytime I hear the term floppy disk, I think of something nasty.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Unclean thoughts.
Unclean thoughts.
And so the geek goes in search of Samantha, and he finds her in the auto shop, which that's something you just don't see anymore. Auto shop in high schools.
He's also always just knocking things over.
Yeah.
All the time, wherever he goes.
Yeah, I don't know where he thinks this Riz comes from.
This is like this whole scene is him being half a human being and half a teenage boy.
She's sitting in this half-finished car, and for some reason is going to continue tolerating his presence, lets him get in the passenger seat next to her, and his entire demeanor turns over.
Yeah.
This is where I thought, okay, is this going to be a story where he learns that he needs to not act this way?
It would be one thing if it was.
I would have liked the movie a lot better.
And you know, yeah, you're right. There is this moment where it's like, all right, he's going to be better for this. He's going to start to see her as a person and not just a prize.
Yeah.
Well.
She tells him that everyone forgot her birthday. And
he's like, wow, I would wig. That sucks.
Yeah, that really sucks. Can I tell you one of my secrets just so I don't feel as bad for you?
What's his secret, Gary?
This information cannot leave this room, okay? It would devastate my reputation as a dude.
No problem.
I've never bagged a babe. I'm not a stud.
She laughs at him.
And I love her for it.
Yeah.
She's like...
Earlier on when he was like, I'm back. And she's like, I can smell that.
He's like, I'm not a stud. Yeah, no one believes that. Literally no one.
Yeah.
I don't know why his dumbass buddies believe it.
When he literally is straight up like, will you just like have sex with me?
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
Yeah.
But there is someone I would like to have sex with. And he's like, okay, I'll bite. Who?
God.
And she's like, Jake Ryan. And he's like, well, Jake Ryan and me are totally buds. He was literally just asking me about you 10 minutes ago, which we skimmed over. And he was.
He was. That part is true, but they are not buddies.
And Jake witnessed the geek making a complete fuck out of himself. And did approach him and was like, hey, what do you know about her? You know? And he's like, I'm not with her, man. Don't worry. If you want her, you got her.
Try.
Because there's a male social hierarchy in every high school.
He's a senior and Ted is a freshman.
I did not give a fuck about what upperclassmen males thought about the social hierarchy of things in our high school. Think, you know what? Like I said, I hate right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad I'm right now.
Instead of in the 80s.
Instead of 80s. Like,
You would. I mean, you wouldn't have fit in lockers, but you would have ended up in a lot of dumpsters.
I would not survive.
Yeah.
I would not have survived the 80s.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad we're here.
Sorry.
And, you know, he tells her that Jake was asking about her, and she gets all excited and Twitter-pated.
Oh my God, what should I do? Should I go up to him or should I say, hi, Jake, I'm Samantha? Or no, maybe I should let him come to me.
This is not my department, huh?
But what if I decide to let him come to me and then he forgets? Or then what if he changes his mind and then I'm totally screwed, right?
Girly pop.
Stop.
No.
And then he asks to borrow her underpants.
Oh, yeah. He's like, wait a minute. Okay, I guess you don't want to have sex with me. But I'm kind of the leader of the geeks, and see, I'm going to lose my rep if you don't agree to give me your underwear for like 10 minutes so that I can prove to them that we got it on. And she's so grateful at being linked up with Jake that
she does it. So she goes to the coat check room where Jake is collecting himself. And, like, she comes right up to that line of opening her mouth and speaking to him.
They stare at each other, like, for, like, a bit. Like,
she turns around, and he is standing there smiling at her, and she chokes. She says nothing.
She just side-eyes and walks away. And she's like, God, I'm hopeless.
And talking to myself.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm such a jerk. He smiles at me and I don't say anything. I can't believe I gave my panties to a geek.
Who talks to themselves like that? The only time I talk to myself legitimately is when I mean, either I'm just trying to remember something.
Yeah.
Or.
It's like, I bet it's just a, come on, Carrie.
Yeah.
Come on, Carrie.
You can do it. Yeah, something like that.
You've got this. Not giving yourself whole little monologues to yourself.
There are times when I will, like, trip over something or bump into something and I'll go, yeah, I deserve that.
Uh-huh.
Why? I don't know, but yeah. I deserve that. Not all the boys gathering for the presentation of Sam's underwear. All the freshman boys pay $1 for entrance to this bathroom, where in a very ceremonial fashion.
They're not in their final evolution yet, and so it's like, you know.
I couldn't believe it. He comes out of that stall and holds up another human being's underwear.
And everyone is just mesmerized.
Like it's the Mona fucking Lisa.
Ted, go for it.
I guess you're gonna miss the panty raid.
Stop. Do not make SpongeBob references right now. I swear to God.
Panty raid.
Can you
You're talking about girls, right?
Girls. Can you believe they put that on TV?
And you're talking about raiding their dressers for their underpins, right? Oh, yeah.
Stop. What the fuck?
I can't believe.
So, Long managed to pull a date while he was at the dance, which I was flabbergasted by, because she's like a tall Amazonian track and field star.
Indeed.
She's like a full head taller than him, and they are just enamored with each other.
I love hetero. That would be a great outtake. I love hetero situationships wherein the female counterpart is taller than the man.
Yeah, you love that energy?
I don't know what it was, but it worked this weekend.
Uh-huh.
On Saturday, there were a lot of couples in which the male was shorter.
Uh-huh.
And I was just living for that. And no, don't you dare. Don't you dare comment about my height right now.
I wasn't going to. I was going to say, wasn't Comic-Con this weekend? Your face!
Is everyone listening okay? Is it okay? Oof.
We also cut to this stupid scene with that is blessedly short where Sam's parents are meeting the parents of the groom, and we're also meeting the groom. And guys, I can't believe that this is the schmuck who we are forgetting about Sam's birthday for. He's a jerk. A womanizing jerk.
Yeah, I know. Isn't he?
He's the janitor from Breakfast Club.
And he's from, yeah.
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 He sure is.
He certainly is.
All that really matters is that the kids are happy together.
Just as long as my beautiful boy remembers that marrying this one means he's out of the Girl of the Month Club.
Wait a minute. I can still look. I just can't touch. Right?
And the parents are weird, too. The dad is definitely in the mob, and I know that because the Godfather music is playing over this scene. Oh, boy. Meanwhile, completely without Jake's permission, Caroline, his girlfriend, has organized what was supposed to be a small gathering at his house while his parents were out of town after the dance. And this is the way it always happens, right? You only tell a few people, and then those people only tell a few people, and before you know it, it's an animal house. This has happened to Ross.
I'm a victim.
You are a victim of this.
I am a victim.
And guys, this house is getting trashed.
Bad.
Badly. There's trash everywhere, empty liquor bottles.
All I'm saying is that when his parents come home,
oh yeah,
he'll no longer be driving that nice red car.
No, there's drunk girls wearing his mother's clothes and jewelry.
I can't.
There are the lawn's being TP'd. There are people just laid out on the lawn.
Laid out.
Passed the hell out. And guys, the way he is casually walking around, he is not
upset enough.
He's got Molly Ringwald on the brain. Like, he...
And just not reacting to the fact that all of these people are trashing his house. And the geek, John Cusack, and the other one roll up to this party thinking they've got enough clout to get into a senior party because they have a pair of girls' underpants. Like, that's the reason. That is why.
Indeed.
And they knock on that door, and guys, LDD's already here.
He is. He is living.
He is living.
He is living his best American life.
Hey! Come on in to the party. I'll do it with the person.
And yeah, like we said, Jake isn't even enjoying his own party. He's upstairs trying to call Sam's phone number. And the thing is, she's got her own phone line. So, but her grandparents are staying in her room and they keep intercepting the calls.
Yeah.
It's so uncomfortable.
It's, I actually did guffaw.
Uh-huh.
When Grandpa asks Grandma who was calling.
Who is it? Well, what do they want?
Sex.
And it just cuts away. I'm like, no.
And Caroline is not behaving because Jake is not paying attention to her. And she is plastered. I know she's acting. I don't know that I've ever seen a person this plastered in the wild. And she is like trying to get his attention, hanging outside his bedroom like, you still love me, like, you pay attention to me. And she like slides down outside his bedroom door and he closes the door on her because he's not messing with her right now.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite part is that he closes her hair in the door.
Yeah.
So now she's stuck.
And, Jamie Gertz helps her take care of that, doesn't she?
Yep. She's like, guys, help me out. Help out your prom queen. And so instead of opening the door...
They just cut her hair out of it.
With a pair of kitchen scissors.
What the fuck?
It's a huge chunk of hair,
and
too.
And it's noticeable.
Yeah.
I know there was no way it wasn't gonna be, but it's noticeable.
Oh, it's a huge chunk, and it's cut at an angle.
I just...
And Haviland now has to spend the rest of this movie in a bad wig. It's just, oh, it's too much.
Bless her 1980s heart.
Help me, please.
Oh,
come
shit.
Come on, you guys, I'm your prom queen. Trace, you guys, I'm serious. Come on, I need help.
Okay.
By the time Jake comes downstairs after he thinks everybody has cleared out, somehow shit is even more wild.
I don't.
This is part of the comedy of the movie, is just the background of everything.
Yeah.
There's like a pizza on the turntable. There is soap suds coming out of the air duct.
I don't know.
Like, Long and his date have accidentally dropped exercise equipment through the floor.
You know, speaking of background details, more on the craziness of the house in just a second, but one background detail I did love was back at the dance, how there was that one kid who did not want to be there.
Uh-huh.
And his parents kept throwing him back into the dance.
Socialize!
Yeah!
Now I want to go home with you!
Yeah! Sorry.
There's no way that kid was at this party.
No.
But the craziest thing about the environment is that it's in the calamity of the party. Jake's parents have a big glass coffee table. But it's like, it doesn't have legs. It's just like... if you had a glass bathtub and you turned it upside down.
Yeah.
And there's all this crap on the top of the table. And Jake is clearing stuff away. And he realizes that his muscular buddies have taken the table, placed Ted the Geek under the table, and then put it back down on top of him. And he's been trapped in there for hours.
Bless his heart.
And guys, an hour into the movie, this is just now when the parents are realizing that they have forgotten her birthday altogether. She is sleeping on the couch because there's nowhere else for her to sleep. And Dad, in the middle of the night, has woken and gone, oh no, we forgot her birthday.
Yeah, when he literally goes to her and wakes her up and is like, hey, kid.
Oh, I would.
It was your birthday today. And here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
Here's my thing.
Uh-huh.
You know what's not happening that should be happening?
What?
This man should be on his knees.
He should. 16's such a special age, especially in the 80s.
On his knees.
Yep.
I'm glad we're getting a realization and an apology.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
It is insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
His mood and the amount of bad he feels about this is not adequate for me.
It's not enough. No, it's,
if that were me and I had by some miracle forgotten my own child's birthday, which I would never do, I would be sitting on the edge of that couch, bent over, about to cry in her face, going, oh my God, you're so special. I'm so sorry we didn't treat you like you were special.
I know.
Like, I know.
I know. I know. And I just, you know what? You know that clip that goes around on TikTok all the time from Modern Family when Mitchell is like, hey, can you turn out the light? I'm going to sleep.
I'm beat. Can you turn off the light?
Yeah. Just give me a second. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You missed our anniversary.
Click. But this is where he's like, I can tell something else is upsetting you. I'm like, I don't know, Dad. You forgetting my birthday is pretty upsetting.
Oh, I know. When he's like trying to walk away.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, wait, there's something else up. And I guess I'll listen since I forgot your birthday.
Yeah. And she starts telling him about Jake and how he doesn't know she exists. And she is just some dork. And he is never going to notice her. And he's never going to love her. And he says the thing that we would hope all of our fathers would say in this situation.
And he's got this incredible girlfriend. I'm just this ridiculous dork that's following him around like a puppy.
Why do you think you're a dork? I don't think you're a dork. I don't think Mom thinks you're a dork.
Mike thinks I'm a dork.
Mike is a dork.
Well, so am I.
Well, if it's any consolation, I love you. And if this guy can't see in you all the beautiful and wonderful things that I see, then he's got the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
It is nice.
Especially to hear from an 80s father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. But, you know, like you always say, happy bare minimum day.
Yeah. Happy. The bar is
in
the
hell.
The bar's not even in hell.
It's not.
The bar's at the center of the earth. Like, I.
Isn't that where hell is located? Back at the completely trashed Ryan residence.
Yeah.
The geek and Jake are up talking about Samantha. And I think this movie honestly wants me to believe that, you know, Ted is talking her up to him out of the kindness of his heart because he genuinely likes Samantha. But I can't even almost like him for it because he's still being gross. And then Jake is also, I think, unconsciously admitting to the fact that he's fixated on Samantha.
And does not care about Caroline in that way anymore.
Yeah, he's like,
get a piece of ass anytime I want. Shit, I got Carol in the bedroom right now, passed out cold. I could violate her 10 different ways if I wanted to.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. She's beautiful and she's built and all that. I'm just not interested anymore.
Caroline's passed out upstairs. I could violate her in 10 different ways.
John Hughes, that was wrong. It was wrong to write down on paper. It was wrong to type it up. And it was wrong to film it.
I gasped.
I know.
I mean, again, shouldn't be surprised. But, like, I know she's a little superficial and kind of mean, but that just gives me the ick. It gives me the impression that whether he realizes it or not, Jake is less interested in his girlfriend because she's starting to resemble a grown woman and not a high school girl.
This is the thing. Sexual assault was baked into the fabric of America when the recipe was written.
Yeah.
Like,
And he couches it in the sense that, you know, he wants to be in love and she's just not in love with him and he needs to be with someone he can be in love with. And I'm like, that's fine. Does it have to be a fresh 16-year-old?
And also, I don't buy it.
You don't buy it?
He's an 18-year-old in 1984. He doesn't care about love.
Yeah.
He just doesn't yet.
Boy. And, oh my God, this is where all of my bad feelings about both Ted and Jake just got all the confirmation because Jake knows now that Ted has her underpants. And he goes, hey, you let me keep the underpants?
Ew!
I will let you drive Caroline home.
This is supposed to be funny to us.
I know.
He is offering her up to a freshman to do whatever he wants with because he is no longer interested in her.
Yeah, and like it's not like we're projecting that weirdness onto it.
It's weird.
He's explicit. They're putting her in his daddy's Rolls Royce, which, by the way, Ted does not know how to drive nor possesses a license.
Throws him the keys and say, here, drive her drunk ass home and do whatever you want to her.
He says, she's totally gone. Have fun.
John!
Ah!
Unacceptable!
What is funny about that?
That's nothing.
I know.
It's written by a man.
I know.
It was written by a man for man.
But the joke's on him because she obviously gets a second wind. She perks back up and makes this car ride an absolute nightmare for him. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie because he's getting what he deserves. She's like, you know, throwing beer cans out of the car and putting her hands on his face. And she, at one point, makes like she's giving him a mint and he puts it in his mouth. And she goes, now we're both on the pill. She gave him birth control. And then she pulls on his head and gets him to try and kiss her. And he takes his eyes off the road and jumps that Rolls Royce onto the sidewalk. The stunt shot is bad.
Yeah, it is bad.
They did not go to enough lengths to get a stunt driver that one looked like Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
It's a grown man in his 50s, and you can see it from the shot.
And it's such a quick transition to Roadhead.
Oh my God! Which, by the way, not cool with her seeing your ass doing that to this freshman, but it's the way her head just goes into his lap. And Anthony Michael Hall turns to us.
Looks right at the camera.
This is getting good.
And drives off!
What the fuck is that? Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
And guys, he does not take her home. He takes her to his buddy's house.
To show them.
Yeah.
That this is the evidence. A Rolls Royce.
And the prom queen.
And an unconscious. Ah!
I know. I know. It's horrible.
They're proud of this.
I know.
They're proud of it.
I know. And he wants them to take a picture of her passed out body. This is supposed to be funny.
Wait a minute. You know, black and white, it would just capture the moment so nicely. Oh.
You take the picture already? You're pissing me off. I'm telling you.
My
pumpkin.
What? Oh, victory. Cheers.
And guys, they don't even take the fucking picture right. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
They just get the corner of his head. What a bunch of idiots. I can't stand it.
Guys, this is just not it.
This is not it. I need people who love this movie to explain yourselves.
Yeah. It's not eventful. It's hardly funny.
And what is happening is horrific.
It's like watching a fish flop to death.
Yeah.
And
guys, this movie is just getting, it's almost a parody of itself with all the shots of Sam and Jake looking into middle distance, thinking about each other. And the top of my head came off. I started with the caps on. I don't care. They've never had a single conversation and they're hung up on each other. I don't get it. I became angry. I kept checking the time code to see how much time was left.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a headache. I've yelled so much this episode that I've given myself a headache. The day of the wedding arrives.
The day of the wedding.
Yeah. You know, that's my Peter Falk impression. And the morning of, mom is also apologizing for forgetting her child's birthday.
Again, not adequately upset with herself.
Sam, I am so sorry about your birthday.
It's okay. I'll recover.
It's important to you. And yesterday morning, you were trying to tell me.
It's okay, Mom. The these things sometimes happen.
And I'm like, all right, again, too little, too late. Absolutely too late. And to make matters worse, Randy informs her by phone that definitely a bunch of freshman boys got a peek at her underwear last night.
The scream.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Last night at the dance, my little brother paid a buck to see your underwear.
That's the last time we see Randy.
Yeah. What the hell?
Goodbye, I guess.
I loved Randy as
a
character. I love
that hair.
The hair in them. That's one thing I'll say. The fashion and the hair in this movie is very good.
You know what?
What?
I think that might just be what it is.
The aesthetic?
I think this was a movie that came out when it did. I think it died out for the most part. Then, I think ABC Family became a thing.
Uh-huh.
And they started running this movie a lot.
Yeah. And then everyone just fell all in love with the 80s again?
All of the women who were young women at the time this movie came out introduced it to their daughters.
Aww.
And then those daughters had kids and said, oh my God, I love 80s nostalgia. I love 16 Candles. What are you talking about, man? Anyway.
The family is leaving for the wedding. This is where they find LDD passed out on the front lawn. Informs the grandparents he crashed their car. We didn't even talk about that.
We didn't even talk about Hey Sexy Girlfriend.
Yeah, but I just.
I don't care. I really don't care.
I don't. That's not even funny.
Hey Sexy Girlfriend.
Not to mention the criminal and disgusting use of the gong throughout this movie.
Yeah. I'm not really having any fun.
Yeah. That's not cool, John. Cut to Ted the Geek and Caroline passed out in the car in the Rolls Royce in the parking lot across the street from the church where Ginny is getting married.
Yeah.
This is convenient.
Yeah.
How did we get here? I know how we got here. Ted drunk drove them over there.
And Ted's like, hey, did we?
Oh my God.
And Caroline's like, yeah, we did. And he's like,
do you know if, did I enjoy it? Yes, of course I enjoyed it. I mean, what I meant was, did you?
You know, I have this weird feeling I did.
Looks at us and smiles. It's supposed to be endearing for some reason.
An 18-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Yeah, and see, I've been doing a lot of shrieking about Jake being after Samantha, but that shit's gross too.
It is gross.
Just because she's a girl doesn't mean I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
That's really gross. They were both really drunk. That shit's not good either. But you are almost, you're an adult, ma'am. I wrote over and over again, this shit is not normal. This shit is not normal. This shit is not normal. I don't care how normal it was back then. It's not normal.
I do. And like, meanwhile, I do love the sequence of the Baker family getting out of the house to go to the wedding.
Oh my God.
All the women piling in one car and all the men piling in another car.
But oh my God, when they get to the church and the little old lady from Poltergeist is here.
Oh my God.
I was afraid you'd have an accident.
I wish.
Her monthly bill came early. Oh, well, she's fine. She just took a muscle relaxer.
Try 4.
You didn't.
What?
I thought it was going to be a joke.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke.
That she took 4 muscle relaxers?
It is not a joke. I know it's the 80s. Why do we have muscle relaxers on hand?
We cut to the mom and the sisters in the bridal suite with her. And poor Molly Ringwald trying to get that shoe on her sister's foot.
It's so not working.
It's not working.
She is wigging. Yeah. She's tweaking.
She is high as a kite. And
as the wedding's about to start, Ginny is standing there trying to remain awake and upright. She's the bride. Sam is standing there going,
Ginny, I'm really happy for you. I'm sorry for being kind of a jerk lately.
That's really lovely, Sam.
I know you'll have a great marriage.
Ginny!
she just cannot, she can't even look at her.
I know.
She doesn't, she's stumbling around. I'm like, I can't believe they think this is going to go ahead.
Or be legally binding in any way.
No, you're not supposed to be intoxicated when you get married.
And I know that I can't, you know, surprise y'all anymore with how bad, with how mad this movie makes me, but it's the way this movie forces Samantha to apologize to her sister.
I know.
Whom she wronged in no way.
None.
And it makes me crazy.
I know.
Justice for Samantha.
I know. I know. And Carrie.
What?
Oh. the wedding march. When there's all the hullabaloo in the background where Mr. Baker is like, do you really think this is how we can do this? But they do it anyway.
The cringe comedy.
The walk down the aisle, I honestly could laugh.
Uh-huh.
If this was all the movie was, I could laugh at it forever. Because she is a stumbling down the aisle. Bob Baker's doing everything he can to keep her upright. She sits down halfway down the aisle because she's so fucked up.
And then she, and it was like, I was like, should I feel bad about this? And I wrote, no, Carrie, because she's been an asshole this whole time.
She was a earlier.
And then she gets up to the altar. She takes the veil off because it's bothering her.
And throws it over a plant.
I'm like, she deserves this. She deserves to make an ass out of herself at her own wedding.
I hope the groom's embarrassed because he is also a fuck.
I don't think he has the capacity to be embarrassed, bud.
Yeah.
It's the way every time a photographer goes to take a picture, he'll like throw a thumbs up.
I don't
what a
get it.
Bunch of sorry human beings. Meanwhile, in the parking lot, Caroline is kissing Ted the Geek. Again, I have problems with this. And Jake pulls up in the car because he's gone to the house and found that Samantha is not there.
Because L Double D is sleeping it off.
Yeah, he's sleeping it off.
Yeah.
And he tells him at the door, Samantha got married. Because he doesn't know which sister Samantha is.
Yeah, he's wrong about that. And so he goes to the church to investigate and finds Ted and Caroline together in the back of a Rolls Royce. It has the gall to be a little disappointed by that.
Even though he gave him permission to do whatever he wanted.
Because he can give permission.
Yeah, it's so gross. And I hate this insipid conversation that Caroline and Jake have. Because obviously she's like, well, this is over.
You know, neither one of us is going to die. If it doesn't happen for us.
That's true.
I just don't know right now. But I'm covered, okay? I won't get hurt.
Sure.
I'll leave it up to you.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even understand what she's trying to tell him.
That conversation made no sense. I don't even know what to come away with from that because it didn't make any sense.
John, what the hell was that?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
I think he was on muscle relaxers when he wrote this.
God.
And so they drag the bride away from the wedding because they have to.
Oh my God.
That's all happy and great. When she's dancing in the rice as it's being thrown at her.
And like sticking out her tongue like they're snowflakes.
Yeah.
Trying to catch the rice in her mouth. It's so good. It's... Mwah, that part is cringe comedy at its best.
And like driving away with her dress hanging out the door.
And guys, Samantha's inside because her sister forgot her veil.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets outside and realizes that they've already left.
Everybody is left.
Everybody forgot about her again.
Everybody. I know.
I can't.
What have we learned, family?
Nothing.
What has anyone learned except that we can take what we want? And all the cars clear away to reveal Jake.
Jake's there.
In his pretty red car. They're both pretty, him and the car. And that this is the first time that they're gonna speak. It's the last 5 seconds of the movie. And there's no one around. And he waves at her. She turns around as though he's waving at someone behind her and goes, me?
Yeah.
You're waving at me?
Yeah, Samantha.
Like, yes, you.
Aww.
And they run to meet each other in the middle of the steps. And this fumbling conversation.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to go to reception now?
I'm supposed to.
Can I call you later?
Sure. I mean, no.
No, I can't call you later?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not going to reception.
Oh, great.
She is following Jake to his car. And her father is getting in a car a bit down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And she waves at her dad. And, like, behind Jake's back is, like, pointing, going,
This is the boy.
This is the boy. And if I was that father, I would
run.
Run over there and grab her by the hand. Because that is not a boy.
Yeah,
that is a man.
That's a fresh young man.
And you are not getting in the car with him and going who knows where.
Yeah.
But he does nothing.
And does nothing.
Apart for the course. I mean, he may also feel, you know, like, what am I really going to do? Tell her no, I forgot her birthday.
And we were all going to leave her behind at the wedding.
My God.
My child I forget about. Our house cat, Sam.
Oh, no.
And, like, they drive away, and then little scene.
Yep. This is the quote most iconic image from the movie, the one I kept expecting to see a lot sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just now happening. It's the last shot of the film where for some reason they are sitting on the dining room table, sitting on it physically.
Yeah.
And he's got her a cake with 16 candles on it.
Matthew Broderick was supposed to play the cake, but he wasn't available. And he was going to sing Happy Birthday, but because he's got a great voice, but you know, no.
And they're just cross-legged, staring into each other's eyes.
As they, and he goes,
Happy Birthday, Samantha. Good wish.
It already came true.
When they lean over the cake to kiss,
uh-huh.
All I can think about is how Michael Schefling is trying not to burn his pants on the cake.
Yeah.
He, like, is having to tippy heel, tippy finger himself. And like, as I noticed they're leaning over the cake to kiss, I was like, isn't that hot?
Yeah.
Isn't that hurting y'all? Because they kiss for a second. And then when the credits started to roll,
uh-huh.
You should have heard the way I audibly went, really?
Because it's that classic 80s freeze frame, right?
Is that the end?
Laughable.
Felt so silly at the end of that. And guys, that is the first time either one of us have seen that film.
Yeah.
In our so many years. Yeah, like,
I've heard stuff about it. I've seen it referenced before, sometimes in really horrifying ways.
I'm literally gagging. Like,
what the fuck? Like that Family Guy gag. And I'm not going to play the audio of it, but you all know what one I'm talking about. And I always thought that that was just Seth MacFarlane being ugly. But
yeah.
Now that I've seen the movie,
You think it deserves making fun of?
That quote joke makes a lot more sense. This movie is so creepy.
It has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Literally all go fuck yourselves. What is good about that?
You know how super critical Roger Ebert always was?
Yeah.
Listen to this.
No.
Provides a perfect center for the story in a sweet and funny movie.
Roger, did we watch the same film?
Middle of the film, okay, how about this? Janet Maslin of mm-hmm. the New York Times. She's on our side. Middle of the film wastes time on a bit more house wrecking and car crashing than is absolutely necessary. There are some notably unfunny ethnic jokes.
Yeah.
Most of the movie is cheerful and light, showcasing Mr. Hughes' knack for remembering all those aspects of middle class America we all would rather forget.
Excellent. Excellent. I love it. Oh, my God.
Like, I just... Huh? Ooh, criticism. There's a criticism tab. Of course, there's a whole section devoted to Gary Watanabe.
Uh-huh.
And,
God.
I hope he felt safe on that set.
You know he didn't.
Probably didn't. Yeah, and they're commenting on the sexual aspect of everything. And, like...
The assault, the violation. I can't.
Amy Benfer writes in Salon, the film directly condones date rape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though no sexual activity is established, consensual or otherwise. It says, Jake tells Ted that his girlfriend Caroline is in the bedroom right now, passed out cold. I could violate her in 10 different ways if I wanted to. The scene only works because people were stupid about date rape at the time. Even in a randy teen comedy, you would never see two sympathetic male characters conspiring to take advantage of a drunk chick.
Exactly.
Like,
what the hell? I'm supposed to, these are the heroes of the film? What do you want me to do with this information? You know, when we haven't seen a film before, you know, we want to go into it cold. I don't tend to do too much research on it beforehand so I can have a genuine reaction. And I knew that when we were setting up the bracket for this month that I basically had two choices for Ringwalds. I could pick Pretty in Pink or I could pick 16 Candles.
And you picked the wrong one.
I did.
And it's okay.
I wish I had bothered to at least watch the trailers.
I know.
Because just based on the trailers, I would have picked Pretty in Pink and not this mess. I have regrets.
Guys, if you've made it to the end here, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm glad that's over.
I'm so glad we get to move on to our latter two subjects.
Yeah, for real.
What are we doing next week, Carrie?
Guys, next week, we will be talking about probably the most famous of John Hughes's films.
And of the Brat Pack films.
The 1985 classic, The Breakfast Club.
I'm so excited to talk about this movie! Yes.
We've got more Molly Ringwald. We've got more Emilio Estevez. We have Judd Nelson.
I know you have feelings about Bender.
I did. When I was in high school, I had big feelings about Bender.
More Anthony Michael Hall, but most importantly, Ally Sheedy.
Yeah! Ally Sheedy! She's returning!
Yes,
I'm so excited! So look out for that next week, guys. In the meantime, you can go follow us on Twitter at KickNStream.
KickNStream.
You can write the show at kickingandstreamingpodcast@gmail.com.
That's with an and, not an ampersand.
And don't forget, folks, please be practicing the three R's in Brat Pack Month. Rate, review, retweet.
Rate, review, retweet, folks. We want everyone to come and join our little Brat Pack watch party. More quality content coming to you from Kicking and Streaming.
Until then, I have regrets.
And I do too.
And as always, sorry, Mom.